Good morning. It is good to be here with you all. It is such a grand opportunity that we all have to be together in this place. Just imagine how marvelous it is. We have something that so few in this world have. We have the ability to come together in spirit and in truth, to be in the presence of our God who has created all things. It's just amazing how much God has provided for His people and the kinds of things that we are able to enjoy as the children of God. I'd like you this morning to consider the first few verses of what we had read, was read in your hearing by Brother Keith, and I'm sure that this lesson will be finished up tonight if the Lord wills and if I live. But I'm glad to be here together with you now. Have you ever thought about the direct connection that comes between all the time and effort, even expense that you put into something and its value? If you think about that, you think about what things are worth. I have a friend, a brother in Christ, a dear friend of mine, Jack, who he owned a Datsun 240Z. That was his baby. That was everything to him. Jack put everything into that car, money, time, everything. When that car got a little bit old, Jack and I helped him. We stripped that car down to nothing but the body. We took everything out. There were no brake lines, no motor, no transmission, no steering wheel, no seats, nothing. Just that shell. And Jack took that shell and he spent quite a bit of money to have that thing dipped in acid so it would strip off all the paint and get rid of some of the rust. And then Jack again paid a lot of money to have that car repainted. Body work was done. And then we put all that stuff back in. It took a lot of effort, a lot of time, and a lot of money. And Jack put a lot of value into that car. Talking thousands of hours of time, thousands of hours of money spent, thousands of dollars, all to restore a car that he eventually would lose. You see, Jack's no longer with us. He's gone off to his reward. And I guarantee you he didn't take the car with him. He put a lot of value into that car, but he can't take it with him. The car is still here. So let's think about this. In this lesson, we're not going to talk about cars, but we are going to question ourselves concerning our part in the kingdom and what the kingdom is worth to us. What is it worth to you? That song that Brother Robert led is very appropriate. And so think of the words of that song and how important our salvation is. What is it worth? In the parable that has been presented this morning, there were three lessons there. We're going to only talk about two this morning. Jesus is really talking about the value that men place on earthly and temporary things as compared to the great value that they place on spiritual things, on eternal life. And we want to investigate that. I want you to be thinking and looking at these parables as we open them up, because it really eventually comes down to just one question. Do you find Christ and His kingdom to be priceless? Is it a priceless treasure to you? And many people do not think that way, and it becomes a problem, because when we consider anything in this world more valuable than the kingdom, than eternal life, than a relationship and a connection with Jesus Christ through His blood, what we do is we lose something. We cease to crave. We cease to desire. We cease to pursue eternal things. And we will no longer strive to preserve our home in heaven, to preserve that place that was set apart by Jesus, prepared for us in eternity. Because what happens is we let go of anything that's less in value to us for the things that are more in value. That is when we start to think of God as being the ruler. Not Lord and King and Master, but just literally a ruler. He sets out rules and we have to obey those. It's a drudgery. We begin to feel like there is the must in our spiritual lives. I must be here today and I must study God's Word. And I have to ask, how long do I have to study today? We start to lose the joy that comes with putting a greater value on the kingdom than on anything else in this world. What's the minimum that I can do to be a Christian? What can I get away with? You see, that's what happens when we bring God down a little bit and put something else up. The kind of thinking that we're talking about puts us in a crisis mode of duty. It strips us of the joy of serving the Lord with gladness. Coming before the Lord as we are today in His presence, Psalm 102. What is it worth? Look with me again at this teaching from Jesus in the book of Matthew. We're going to look at chapter 13 and begin with verse 44, and I ask the question simply, what does it say? Well, we know basically what it says, and the idea of this parable, this man found a treasure hidden in a field, and the question now is, why? Why was it such a treasure to him? Well, the answer was for the joy of it. He went out and he sells everything he has to buy that field. Whatever that was, he went out to sell everything he had to buy that field. And as we look a little bit further in the text and we see Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and verse 46, Jesus is talking about another man, and he finds a pearl of great price. And what did he do? Well, we know what the Scripture tells us. It's very simple, very plain. He went and he sold all that he had and he bought it. These two men both sold everything that they had to gain that possession, to gain the possession of that land, to gain the possession of the pearl of the great price. They went out and they sold everything. And they had something in common. In that sense, they both sold everything. But what is Jesus really referring to here? Is he telling us to go out and find fields that have treasure in them? Is he telling us to scuba dive in the ocean hours and hours and days until we find this great, expensive, valuable pearl? No. They both possess the same thing. The pearl just represents something of great value. This hidden treasure represented something of great value. And what was that? It was the kingdom of heaven. That was the treasure they both wanted. That's the treasure we need to want. That's what we need to place an abundance of value over and above, exceedingly more than anything on this earth. And when you think about that, what happens when we fall short of that? What happens when we start to look at something else being more important to us than the kingdom of heaven? Than our relationship with Jesus, with God, with that hope of eternal life? What happens when we bring that laser beam down a little bit and we look at a lower mark? Well, we see an example of that in King David. If you remember in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7, David was told very clearly by Nathan, go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. He said that. And boy, you think that's just an open door. You do whatever you want to do, go do it. Well, maybe David took that a little bit too far. Because what happened was, we realize that there's something that took place that made David miserable. Something that took away his joy. Something that he should never have done. And you think of David, he's the king. He has great power, great possessions. He can have anything he wants. He has wealth, influence. He's able to have as many women as he wanted. So much power. So much ability. So much potential. But what made David so miserable? David realized that he had sinned against God. He actually put Bathsheba above, think about that, he put Bathsheba above God. When he desired Bathsheba, he wanted her so much, she was so important to him, so valuable to him in that moment, that he was willing to kill for it. He was willing to sin against his God. He knew better. There's no question. And that made David miserable. He unknowingly, I believe, put his lust for his relationship with Bathsheba above his love and his relationship with his God. That's why David was filled with sorrow when Nathan explained this to him and said, "You are the man." That's why David was sorrowful. He wasn't sorrowful because of embarrassment that he got caught. He wasn't sorrowful because maybe he lost something, embarrassed with being with Bathsheba, or he suddenly realized, oh, I murdered her husband. None of that made him sorrowful. His sorrow was because he lost that one thing that meant the world to him. He realized that his sin was against God. And so he wept. He lost his fellowship with God. The relationship that he had with God. That connection with God. That ability to have great peace in approaching God in prayer and psalms and hymns. David lost that. All the wonderful blessings and the peace that comes from a true connection, a relationship, if you will, with your God. He lost it all. David lost his treasure because he put more value on one thing than he did on the true treasure, which was his God. You remember that reading, meditating on God's Word, it brings infinite joy. Every day of your life when you study God's Word, you're going to find some kind of joy. No matter how many times you read the book from cover to cover, you're every day going to find something new. Something that strikes you. Something that will build your faith. Something that brings you joy. But David's joy in reading the law was taken away. Because when he did this thing, when he put Bathsheba and other things above God, he lost that ability to have joy in the law. Because now when he reads the law is convicting him of his sin. Think about that. Listen to what David said in Psalm 51 in verses 11 through 12. He says, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your hand." That was written after the events with Bathsheba and Uriah. That was something that David wrote because he had great sorrow. He said, "Do not cast me away." That's what happens when we put something above God in value. Restore my joy, because your joy is taken away when you put anything above the value and value it above God. He needs that joy back. He needs to know that his salvation is steadfast and sure. You see, he lost that. And it's not just David. Another example is Korah, the sons of Korah. If you remember the sons of Korah in Psalm 84, we look at the screen and see what has been said by these. "My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord." Think of that joy that they have. Their soul longs to be in the courts of the Lord, to be in fellowship with God's people, to be a part of His holy nation. "My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand." Look at that. "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the land, in the tents of wickedness." A day in your court better than a thousand. Think about what that means. Think of, you know, the psalmist himself. He wrote, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold." If you've sinned against God, you can't say that. If you've sinned against God, you're not going to think one day in His courts is worth a thousand elsewhere. Those are the words of David and other psalmists who have originally hidden that treasure in their hearts. They have hidden that treasure, that field, that hidden treasure of the field, that great pearl of great price. They deem those treasures more valuable than anything else that they may possess. And now all of us here today understand that only true disciples are willing to pay that price. To find their greatest pleasure in having Christ as their King and being a part of His kingdom. That's a price that we must pay. And if I ask you, what value do you place on the relationship with God, with Christ, the Holy Spirit, His Word? What is it worth to us? What is His love worth? What is it worth to know that we can be recipients not only of that love, but of the cleansing power of the blood, to be called His children, to be adopted into God's family? And listen, I'm not asking you for an answer. But what I would say, do you love God? Are we missing the mark when we put personal time, our interests, things of our life, whatever it be, physical, emotional, even spiritual, when we put these things above the value of God, then we say there's nothing we have to do to get to heaven. We take on that attitude that, you know, I'm busy with all these things and don't bother me with details about getting into heaven. You don't have to do anything to get into heaven. That's what many people teach. Many people teach you don't have to pray at all, often, to be saved. You don't have to be a person of prayer. We don't have to study the Bible. We don't have to come to Sunday morning Bible studies. We don't have to come back here tonight. In fact, you show me the verse that says we need to be here on Wednesday night. That's what we say. Those are the kinds of things that we say when God isn't number one. When the value of the kingdom, when the value of God's people here on the earth, the fellowship that we have together, when that becomes number two, we start saying things like that. Yeah, it's true that worshiping Christ is a joy to those who put Him, His worth, value above and beyond anything else in life. Is our life a reflection of these men? Do we think that we have something great value and we want that thing no matter what the cost? Are we willing to sell everything, get rid of everything, even relationships, anything that would distract us from being in the kingdom, being a part of the kingdom, and that hope of heaven? Brethren, friends, serving Christ is a pleasure that increases a manifold times every single time we do it. Serving Christ is a pleasure increases in value every time we do it. He becomes more valuable. The kingdom becomes more valuable when we put something into it. Every opportunity is a privilege in the Lord's kingdom. Every opportunity is a joy in the Lord's kingdom. Every opportunity that we fulfill a work for His sake brings us closer and closer to Jesus, and it increases His value in our life. I want you to listen. Jesus Christ is the treasure. The kingdom is the treasure for every true disciple. Remember how these men thought of their treasure. What did they do when they discovered the treasure? They took and sold everything and they bought it, and it brought them joy. It brought them joy. And their great joy was the kingdom. It was the knowledge. It was the relationship. It was Jesus and their God. What an amazing thing we learn from two little parables. How much is it worth to you? Think about that young rich ruler. Remember, we really know. He comes to Jesus. He asks Jesus a question. Teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And that is a great question. The problem is most people in the world today, they don't like the answer. You know, Jesus, of course, tells them about the commandments. You know, he says, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't commit murder. Don't steal, don't bear false witness. He tells them all about the commandments. Don't defraud, honor the father and mother. And of course the young ruler says, well, hey, I've done it all. I kept all these things from my youth. And then Jesus gives him that answer that really brought him great sorrow. One thing you lack. He says, go and sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. And we know what happened. But he was sad at this word. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. In his mind at that moment, he wanted the kingdom of heaven. That was the question. That was his desire. What do I got to do? And when Jesus told him what he had to do, he became very sorrowful. Because like the man that found the treasure hidden in the field, and like the man who found the pearl of the great price, like us, we need to think of these things worth more than every possession. And he couldn't do that. And he walked away sorrowful. Excuse me. So what is something worth to you? What are your things worth to you in comparison to eternal life? How do you feel about these kinds of statements from Jesus? Whoever desires to save his life will lose his life, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Do we have to give up our life for Jesus? How do you feel about that? Is that something that draws you into Jesus? Is that something you want to do? You want to put it all behind you and follow Jesus? He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about where Jesus says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciples. How do you feel about that? Will you walk away sorrowful? I mean, if you really, Jesus, you know, if you have to give up your life, if you have to love Jesus more than your family, if you have to forsake everything to be his disciple, will you walk away? Truly. So I ask, you know, what is it worth? What is it worth? What is eternal life, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus Christ our Savior, the sacrifice? What is it worth? What is it worth, that place that He prepared for us in heaven? What is it worth? Is it giving up everything we own to have eternal life? It's a bargain. It really is. Think about Jack's car. You know, I have to tell you that Jack was not a Christian when all that happened. In fact, I wasn't either. We put a lot of emphasis on golf and cars and all those personal things. And I'm thankful to say that Jack, like myself, decided Jesus was more important. It's a bargain. To give up every penny you have, like the poor widow who gave her entire livelihood. The men who sold all their possessions to obtain the hidden treasure, to obtain the pearl of grace. It's a bargain. Giving up everything that you love for eternal life is a bargain. Think about that. There is nothing in this world that can ever be close to the value of being adopted into God's family. Nothing. Now I want you to think about the universe. Psalm 8:1. O Lord, O Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. You have set Your glory above the heavens. Think of the heavens. You know, tonight you go out and you look up into the heavens. Lord willing, you'll be able to see the expanse of heavens, the stars, the moon, and all that. Those galaxies. Imagine all of the heavens and just the immense physical being of the heavens, and realize they're not even coming close to the value of the kingdom of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Not even close. Not even close. What is it worth to you? We have to joyfully obtain Christ's kingdom, because no matter the cost to us, it's a bargain. And I pray that you will think that way. I pray that this lesson has at least caused you to think back and maybe spend some time meditating on this idea. And Lord willing, you'll come back this evening. I think that's very important. If we consider God, His kingdom, this church, the relationship we have, our fellowship with one another, our love for one another, our care for one another. Important. Valuable. What in the world could possibly be worth more than the kingdom of heaven? What in the world could possibly be worth more than the blood of Christ and His sacrifice? What in the world could possibly have more value than the Son of God coming down to this earth and being our Lord, our Master, and our King, and our Savior? If you're here today, and I want you to think about this. If you're here today and you haven't obtained eternal life yet, your treasure awaits. And it's a bargain. Right behind me is the baptismal, and that's ready and willing and waiting. Jesus is waiting. Jesus is waiting for you to just decide to give up everything. Give up sin. Give up everything and turn to Him. Waiting for you to repent of your sin and to be baptized into His kingdom. And believe me, it's a bargain. the treasure that we possess brings such great joy. And there's nothing to compare. Because the joy is eternal. It's not a temporary car. It's not a house. It's not a family, a relationship. It's not a job. It's not a bank account. It is eternal. And all things are said and done. It's appointed unto all men to die once and then the judgment. And when you die, all those things are gone. You think that through. The greatest gift, God sending His only begotten Son into the world out of His great love to die on a cross for us all. The price that God paid. That was His blood that was shed for every soul. We all realize that Jesus Christ came to this world to seek and save that which is lost. The simple answer to the gospel call is believe and be baptized to wash away your sins. And if you have done that, it continues from there. As Brother Randy pointed out this morning, when we fall short, when we sin, we don't need to be rebaptized. We simply need to repent. And repent we must. Consider your relationship today. Consider how much value you place on things and how much value you place on God and His kingdom. If you have a need, please come forward now as we stand and sing.